I can tell you this, that this book caused me to look inside of me and see things that I didn't want to see. And I like to preach from a position of strength. What I mean by that is God's dealt with me, and I've kind of, you know, have settled that in my life, and I've kind of moved on. I'm just saying, as a pastor, I like to be in that position because then I feel I can be of a greater help. But I'm not going to lie to you, and my family would know. They'd be like, liar. I've not gotten complete victory over this in my life yet. I haven't. Past couple months have been hard. It's like the enemy knows what you're going to preach. You know what? And he wants to do everything he can to invalidate it in your life, to make you feel like, well, you can't talk about that because, dude, you're a hypocrite. You can't teach on that. You wait another couple months because maybe then you'll be ready to teach on that. And today I'm preaching from a position of weakness, I have to admit. Because anger is everywhere, isn't it? I mean, spouses are angry at each other. Employees are mad at their bosses, right? Teens are always angry at their parents, and usually vice versa. Parents are mad at the teens. Even the citizens of our country, they're mad at the government, aren't they? You turn on the news and what do you see? These angry demonstrations of people voicing their displeasure about something. They're mad about something. They're angry. Matter of fact, if you spend time with anybody for a period of time, I promise you, you will see anger in action. You will. Anybody. You will eventually see anger. Many of us are angry at ourselves, aren't we? No. Sometimes we even get angry. We think, I shouldn't be angry. Why am I angry? Parents, we see our kids expressing anger, don't we? And we wish we knew it well enough where we could teach them the right way to deal with anger. At least I do. Clearly, we all have issues with anger. We do, whether we're willing to admit it or not. Matter of fact, I think Christians are often very confused when it comes to anger. It's a complex emotion. And for those of us who follow Jesus, we need to learn the right way to express anger. So we're going to look at what does the Bible say? Can anger ever be a good thing? So in this series, we'll look at what the Bible says about anger. How do we use this tool that not only God created, God actually uses himself? See, if God can find it useful, if God can find it beneficial, so can we. We need to know how to use anger properly. So where did anger come from? Where does anger come from? What is anger? It's interesting. I read this quote. It was kind of interesting. It was by Aristotle. It says, anyone can become angry. This is easy. But to be angry with the right person at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that's not within everyone's power, and that's not easy. Now, I would agree that it's not easy, but I disagree with his statement about it not being possible. See, I do believe it is within everyone's power to control their anger, as long as that power inside you is the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to control your anger. You do. Now, how does the world define anger? You know, and how they use it is not really how we should define anger and how we should use it. Matter of fact, I think we'll often see that anger uses us. There are thousands of events or situations that will happen in life that will cause you to become angry. There are. Anger is fed by disappointment. It's fed by hurt, rejection, embarrassment. Anger puts you up against something, against a person. Whatever it was that sparked that emotion inside you. It could be literally like kicking the table leg. What are you now mad at? Man, that dumb table leg. Some of you would, if you had a hammer in your hand or a bat, what would you probably do? You'd probably hit the table leg. I've seen people do that. Have you ever seen someone like smack into something and they're like, darn it, and they kick it again, and then they hurt their other foot? See, it's the opposite feeling of love. Love draws you toward the person. Anger pushes you away. Anger sets you against them. But what is the root of anger? Where does it start? Believe it or not, humans' ability to have anger, it's actually rooted in the very nature of God. Now, that might offend some of you, me literally saying that. I promise you, I'm not being disrespectful at all to God. And I'm not saying that anger is a part of God's nature. I'm saying that anger comes from God's nature. It comes from two parts of it. It comes from God's holiness, and it comes from God's love. See, the Bible says that God is holy, right? And holy means set apart from sin. Now, the Bible also says that God is love, right? Which means that God's nature is loving. It is. It comes from those two traits. I mean, the Bible never says that God is anger, right? It doesn't say that. Matter of fact, that isn't true at all. However, the Bible talks about the fact that God experiences anger. You will find just in the Old Testament alone, the word anger used 455 times in the Old Testament. That's just in the Old Testament. And of those 455 times, 375 of them are in regards to God. It's not even people getting angry. This is God expressing anger. And plus, there are times in the New Testament that you will read even when Jesus himself got angry. It is because God is holy and because God is love that God will experience anger. Matter of fact, his love looks for the good in creation, right? He wants things to go well. And his holiness stands against sin, right? So all God's laws are built on that foundation about his holiness and his love. That's what every law is built on. God wants us to do what is right, and if we do what is right, we enjoy the benefits, right, of that obedience. Is that true? You obey God and you get the benefits of that. But God also knows just how deadly sin is in the life of you. He knows how much it literally destroys you from the inside out. That's what causes literally God to become angry. It's based on God's concern for you, for justice, for righteousness. And that literally grows out of his nature of holiness and love. See, when God sees evil, he experiences that anger. His anger is that logical response to needing justice, needing people to be righteous before him. So, because anger is a healthy response from God, it is a part of who we are. Well, why? Well, who were we created in the image of? God. God created us in his image. Now, look, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, that image was stained, wasn't it? It was tainted. But it did not erase the image of God in us. He still has an imprint on us, which means that we still have the same, I guess you'd almost call it a moral alarm. When it comes to justice, when it comes to righteousness, that's inside us. That's who we are. It's ingrained in us. Matter of fact, you could find the most pagan, evil person, and you'll still hear them make statements like, well, they shouldn't have done that. That wasn't right. Even people that you think are pretty bad, You'll hear them make statements like, well, he shouldn't have said that. Matter of fact, if you hurt that person or if you hurt someone that they love, I guarantee you that that man will transform into a very moral person and will want justice done, won't they? It's ingrained in us. Matter of fact, even in young children, as they're learning to talk, one of the first things that they learn to say is, that's not fair. Isn't that true? Well, why? Because built inside them is a desire for justice. They know when they have feel that they've been wronged. Children know that even at a very young age. Anger is the emotion that literally arises inside us when we encounter what we perceive to be something wrong. Look, try and remember the last time you got angry. It may not be that long ago. It may literally have been on the drive here. It may have been literally as you walked it. It may have literally been as you sat in your seat and saw that someone else was sitting in your seat. Chances are your answer is going to mention something to do with justice. Someone or something did not treat you fairly. Something was wrong in your mind. Your anger may have been directed at a person. It may have been directed at a situation. It may have been directed at an object. It may have literally been directed at yourself. You may have been angry at yourself. You may have even been angry at God. But in every one of those instances, you felt you were wronged. Look, I'm not going to judge your perception of whether you should have felt angry, of whether it was something that really was done wrong to you. I'm not even talking about that. Matter of fact, I probably will get into that later in the series. But what I'm saying is that anger starts in the idea that something is wrong, okay? That's where anger starts. This sense of morality is because we are made in the image of God. Do you understand? Okay, I'm trying to build a foundation. But what I'm trying to tell you is that anger is not evil. It's not. Anger is not sinful. It's not. Anger is not a part of our fallen nature. It's not. Anger isn't Satan at work in your life, believe it or not. It's not. Quite the contrary. Anger is evidence that we are made in the image of God and that we have a concern for justice. We have a concern for righteousness. Even though we're not perfect, we still have that inside us. And my hope is that by the end of this series, we'll actually thank God for the ability to express anger. When we stop having the ability to experience anger, we lose our moral compass. Trust me, you do not want a world filled with people who do not have the ability to express anger. This world would become a terrible place. It would. So what is God's purpose for anger? Well, anger was created by God to make us want to take positive action to times when we face injustice. That's what God created it for. God wants us to take a positive action to stop injustice. See, when God sees evil things being done, it causes him to become angry, and he demands that positive changes happen. That's what God does, isn't it? When he sees evil in this world, inside of us, what does he do? He demands change. God is quick to punish people because of love for them. He will not allow people who are sinning to go unpunished. He won't. Because not only are they hurting other people, they're also hurting themselves, whether they understand it or not. However, those same people, if they're willing to repent and change, God's compassion moves to forgive them. It does. The wrong has been made right. That shows that because of God's anger, the outcome was positive. His outcome is always to have you change, to be restored, to become righteous. That's how God's justice works. Matter of fact, people quote 2 Chronicles 7:14 all the time. For those of you who don't know it, as soon as I start saying it, a lot of you will remember it. But I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, when I shut up the heavens, this is God talking, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people? That's God talking. So when God has seen evil, and he then demands that justice be served, and then he punishes that evil, God sends those things. Verse 14 is the one we quote, right? But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. See, God's holiness will not allow him to stay silent. It won't. When his children are involved in sin, his love always looks for a way to express his anger, to motivate us to change, to motivate us to come back to him, to motivate us to be willing to say, I repent, I'm sorry. And then God waits there with open arms and receives us back in. It's the same way with parents and their children, right? You do not punish your kids to hurt them. You don't. You punish your kids because you want them to change. You want them to become more like Jesus. You want them to do what's right in their lives. That's why we punish our kids. God's response is always to take loving action to stop evil and to restore that person, always. And remember, the purpose of anger, and this is important, you need to get this in your mind. The purpose of anger is to always leave a situation better than it was. That should be the purpose of anger, to leave the situation better than it was. Now, let's be honest. How many of us think that that's what our anger does? How many of you could say, yeah, that's what my anger does? It always makes the situation better. When I'm angry and I'm done with being angry, it's just better. Life is better now, right? Probably not. See, anger is like that red flashing light on the dashboard, right? It shows that something needs attention, right? Anger can be such a powerful motivator for change, isn't it? It is useful to move us to act. If you didn't get angry, you probably wouldn't change. You probably wouldn't do anything. You would stay the same. But it can also be a raging, uncontrollable force. It can be destructive. So the difficulty is, you know, we have all these wonderful, positive purposes that anger was really created to accomplish. But they disappear, right, in the heat of anger? We forget about setting things right, and we end up making things worse. Anger is not meant to destroy. It's not. It's meant to restore. It's meant to make things good. So, how do we become angry for a good reason? How do we become angry for a good reason? See, when we are hurt by someone that we have a relationship with, it's important for us to become angry. Yeah, I said that. When you're hurt in a relationship, someone that you know, that you love, it is important for you to become angry. Why? Because if we don't angry, nothing's going to change. It's going to stay the same. If someone hurts you and you do nothing, guess what? It's going to happen again. It is. It will happen again. Plus, the person that made you angry, you're not going to give them the opportunity to change, to repent, to say they're sorry, to offer them a way of making things better. See, when dealing with anger towards someone who you have a relationship with, there are basically two questions that you should be asking. Two, okay? Number one, is my response positive? What that means is, will it deal with the wrong and heal the relationship? And the other question is my response loving? Because remember, anger, loving, positive response. Loving, positive response. So is my response loving, or is it designed for the benefit of the person? Now that's hard, right? When you're angry, you're not thinking of benefit of them, right? You're thinking of benefit of me. You want to make things fair. You zinged me? Well, what are you going to do? I'll zing you back. Now we're fair, right? It's even. Now remember, we're talking about valid anger. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm saying that anger that started by a real offense, you know, by the other person. There's a difference between someone doing something against what the Bible says or someone just offending you. You bought chocolate ice cream? I like vanilla. Now, does the Bible say thou shalt not buy chocolate ice cream? No. But is it possible that that actually might offend and actually make you angry? Well, Pastor, that's silly. Yeah, I've seen some pretty heated arguments start over something as simple as vanilla or chocolate ice cream. So I'm talking about valid anger here, okay? So let me give you 5 steps that are necessary to deal with valid anger, okay? So this is good anger. This is someone, you know, has done something wrong, but you want to do a positive and loving response in their life. Because something tells me that you're not looking back at your fits of anger and said, wow, I really left that situation better than what it was. Okay? So number one, first thing you're going to do, admit that you're angry. That may seem silly to you. You know when you're angry. You know the funny thing is? No, you don't. Sometimes you have no idea you're angry. The emotion of anger can come on you so quickly that you're caught up in either a verbal and sometimes physical response to that anger even before we even know what happened. We don't even know what's going on in the inside of us, and we're already reacting, right? We don't even know we're angry. We're just caught in the heat of the moment, however you want to put it. We will have better responses to anger if we're first willing to admit that we're angry. That may sound simple, but you know what? I've learned that Christians actually have a hard time with that. You know why? Because they believe anger is evil. They believe anger is sinful. And to actually admit to themselves that I'm angry, you're almost admitting that I'm sinning. And so they don't want to admit I'm angry. I'm not angry. Dude, your face is bright red. I'm not angry. Your ears are glowing. I'm not angry. Yes, yeah. Admit you're angry. Matter of fact, Ephesians 4:26. I'm going to read it in a couple different versions. Ephesians 4:26. NIV says, in your anger, do not sin. Does it say do not be angry? No, it says, in your anger, do not sin. King James Version says, be angry, but sin not. Message, I like the way the Message reads. It says this, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. Isn't that interesting? How that? Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. So the challenge is not do not get angry, it's do not sin once you become angry. So when you feel anger coming on, admit it. Admit it. So look, if you admit it, you're going to be better able to deal with it. I promise you. Okay? So that's step one. Admit it. Number two, this is a tough one. This is the hard one. Matter of fact, I almost guarantee you, if you get this step, your ability to not be destructive in anger will grow immeasurably. Number two, restrain your response. You know what basically what I'm saying here? Stop everything. Stop. Freeze. Very few adults have learned to control their anger. Matter of fact, most of us, I hate to admit it, it's like because I'm modeling it for my kids. Most of us follow the models of our parents. They're the ones who showed us how anger is, how anger works, and so we normally follow the behaviors of either our parents or other significant others in our lives that we've watched, because that's what is considered normal to us. Matter of fact, Proverbs 29, verse 11 says this. Proverbs 29, 11, it says, people with good sense restrain their anger. People with good sense restrain their anger. Proverbs 14, 17. Proverbs 14, 17 says this, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. A quick-tempered man does foolish things. You know, when I talk to people during counseling sessions, they tell me that they can't control their anger. I can't. It just comes on me and I can't control it. Matter of fact, when they say that they get angry, they literally feel overwhelmed and they believe they can't stop themselves. Now, I sympathize with people who say that. I do. And I understand the overpowering nature of anger, especially once it starts going. Once it starts rolling, it's almost like a wave. It's, you know, once it starts moving, it's really hard to stop the momentum. But I don't believe that's a 100% true statement. See, I believe that there's that moment right before you say that word, right before you may take a swing. There's that moment right before that domino tips over where you are actually in control and you make a choice to say it, to not. Look, I'll give you the best advice when it comes to anger, and you will control this step and it will immeasurably change your life. When you identify, because you have to be able to identify that anger is coming, right? Because if you can't identify it, you won't be able to do this step. But when you identify that I'm getting angry, you know what you need to do? Count in your brain. One, two. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to say anything. You're just going to start counting. Count to 10. Count to 100. Count to 1,000. Look, if you need to literally get up and walk away while you're doing it, get up and walk away. You know what I call that? A timeout. Matter of fact, me and Sharon, when we're doing marital counseling, and we use this in our own life, is we will get up and we'll take a time out. We will walk away. We will count in our brain. This is not a cop-out. This is not avoidance. This is you doing something biblical, because what you're saying is that my response needs to be positive and loving, and right now it's got no shot of being positive and loving. So I'm going to get my butt up, swallow my pride and my ego that says, no, I demand to do it right now. Instead, you're going to say, I love this person and I love my Savior more, so I'm going to get up, I'm going to walk, and I'm going to count. We don't want to do that though, right? Because they're wrong and they need to be punished right now. It is an opportunity to get in control of your emotions so you can approach the situation without sinning. God wants you to get angry in those situations because He wants constructive action to happen to heal that relationship. You'll get worried if you're in bad situations and you're not getting angry anymore. You know what that means? You don't care. You've swallowed it. You're allowed. You're letting bad habits and bad things happen to you, and it doesn't bother you anymore. Whatever. I'll just swallow it again. You want anger to come up inside you, but you have to be able to control it. The only way you can control it is if you restrain your response. Okay, so admit it, stop. Then number three, locate the root of the anger. Basically, this is asking the question is, why am I really angry? And this is usually happening during that, when you're counting, you know, when you're walking, this is what you're doing. You're trying to figure out, well, why am I angry in the first place? You do this. Easy way of doing this, ask yourself some questions. Like, why am I so angry? Is it what they said? Is it what they did? Is it the way they were talking to me? Is the way, maybe it was the way they were looking at me? Is it because of something that already had happened today and that just literally pushed me over the edge? Maybe it reminded me of some painful experiences in the past. You need to figure out, why am I angry? Because once you figure it out, like, all right, what am I angry? Because then what you need to figure out is, well, how serious of an offense was this? See, all this, what is all this doing? It's calming the emotions, right? It's allowing you to stop the emotional part and try to figure out what really did happen. Look, you got to figure out how serious it was, because you know what? Sometimes you'll learn as you calm down, all right, it was chocolate ice cream. All right, vanilla is not my favorite, but look, Bob not showing up on time is not as serious as Bob abusing you verbally, right? You got to be able to figure out how serious of an offense is this. Having the same response to something small as you do to something big, it means that you're not managing your anger. You're not. You know what's good in relationships, especially like with spouses or family members? Sometimes it's good to have a scale, an anger scale. You need to be able to figure out, you know, from a 1 to 10, how bad is this? You know, is this, you know, a 1 where, you know what? We could probably figure this and talk this out really quick, because it's honestly, all right, it was vanilla ice cream. I like chocolate better. Can you buy chocolate next time? All right, we're good. Or is this a 10 where, all right, we could be up all night. So just brace yourself. Now, I'm going to count to 3,578, maybe more. I'll be back in maybe a half an hour, because I really need to cool off and calm down. But we need to talk this one out. This could take a while. You can't react. If you're reacting as, you know, as emotionally and as strongly to everything, that's not healthy. It's not. See, because once you've learned about what you're angry about, most of the time you're going to feel foolish. Like, oh, I totally overreacted about that. Why did I get so angry? And it's going to stop you from then having to ask forgiveness for screaming at someone over chocolate ice cream. How many of you guys have ever had to do that? All right, I'm sorry, it was chocolate. And I totally threw it across the room, and now I'm going to clean it up off the floor. And you laugh, but, and it may not be ice cream, but. All right, so you admit it, stop. What is it? Figure it out. And then number 4, analyze your options. Your job is to find a solution that will deal with the wrong and heal the relationship. Remember, you've been made angry not to punish. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not yours to judge. It's God's to judge. Your job is loving, positive response. Do you know what we often do? We're trying to analyze, you know, options. We usually find the ones that are easy, right? You know, the ones that actually don't deal with the wrong, and they definitely don't help the relationship. See, the easy response is, you're a jerk. All right, next time vanilla, because I don't like chocolate. All right, figure it out. All right, bud? Good. All right, thanks. All right, that was quick and easy, but, and it might have solved the problem where there may not be chocolate, there may not be any more ice cream. Forget the chocolate or the vanilla. Look, the model we follow when we're looking for options of a solution is that. Is it loving and positive? Loving and positive. Most Christians usually end up with two options, all right? We'll just skip right to it. There's usually two options that have to happen. Either number 1, you move on. You let it go. You drop it. Because you know what? When you feel the anger coming on, kidding me? All right, just walk. 1, 2, 3. And then, all right, what are my options? All right, I should just, all right, now. I'll let it go. And you know what? Your spouse may not even know that you didn't really care about the flavor of ice cream that you bought. Because you know what you did? You let it go. You left it there. Because you know what? You saw how foolish it was about you getting mad over something about ice cream. Or, you know, the other option is lovingly confront the person. Lovingly confront the person. Look, letting it go, the minor ones, right? Because I can promise you this, if you're offendable, you will be offended. You will be. We sometimes just need to let things go and not hold them. But I have to admit, the better the relationship, it's better to actually confront all the time. Because you know what? If you let that go about the ice cream, guess what's probably going to happen? What is she going to buy next time? Same flavor. And it's going to keep, you know, oh, all right, she bought it again. I'll let it go. I'll let it go. Thank you, Jesus. I'll let it go. About the 29th, it's the 29th time. Look, do they have other flavors other than vanilla? You kidding me? Can you at least buy some chocolate sauce to put on it? Or you can lovingly confront. Look, I did a whole message, remember, on forgiveness, on how you lovingly confront someone who's offended you. The Bible is very specific on how to do it, how to walk up to them, explain yourself, help them to understand. And the objective is for them to understand. The objective is not for you to punish. It's, you know, I know that you like vanilla. I'm a chocolate guy. How about Neapolitan? You know, we got strawberry, we got chocolate, we got vanilla, everyone's happy, you know? See, once you've calmed down and you understand what the issue is, if you have a good relationship with them, most of the time, they would actually feel bad that they hurt your feelings. That's usually the problem. You know, the interesting thing is that most of the time, I'm not saying all the time, most of the time, especially in relationships, when you hurt someone's feelings, it's not intentional. It's not like, oh, I'm going to zing them now. Oh, I know they love vanilla. You know, I mean, they don't do that when they're grocery shopping. They don't. And so you know what? Usually when you come to them and say, not my favorite, they're like, oh, dude, I didn't know. Sorry. Matter of fact, you want me to go return it? You know, I'll get you, I'll go out and buy some right now. Isn't that normally the posture when it's someone that you love, when it's a relationship? Love believes the best in others. Why? Because you know what? It's usually not intentional, not someone out to get you. We don't sit around thinking, oh, I just want to get angry today. At least I hope not. So admit it, right? Next one was stop. Stop. Third one was restrain the. Well, that was second. So the third one was yes. Why? Why am I so mad? Fourth is, all right, what are my options? And like I said, best option is, especially if it's someone that you love and trust, communication positive. Talk it out. Work it out. Don't let those things pile up behind you. Because you know what? If you stick them under the rug, you know, you're going to trip over that rug half the time. I've seen some people's rugs, man. When they come into my office and their rugs are, they got a pile over here, they got a pile over here. And I say, what's that stuff? Oh, it's nothing. I let it go. Let it go? You can't even walk around in your life. I mean, you're like dodging around here and... No, talk it through. But then, final step, take that constructive action. Once you decide what to do, do it. There's a reason why God says don't let the sun go down on your anger, because he wants you to resolve it, make it right, lovingly, positively work through these things with the person that you love. Look, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that he has the power to help you control your anger, restrain it in, and you're going to be like Jesus, right? His job was to heal, restore. to make the relationship better again. We want our relationships better in our life, don't we? Like I said, we don't sit around waiting and wanting to get angry. We don't. As a matter of fact, how many of you get really embarrassed after a really big bout of anger in your life? I do. I get really embarrassed. I'm like, oh man, I gotta walk around these people now. When how many times would that have been completely stopped, even just by counting? Just by counting alone. Look, I'm trying to, we're going to talk about anger for a while. There's lots of other aspects to this. We need to learn how to deal with bad anger. With anger that really, a lot of what we're talking about today is someone who does something wrong, and the Bible says not to do it, and you deal with that. But how do you deal with anger when really they didn't really do anything wrong? It literally was ice cream, and you're just going off emotionally, and there's really no good reason why you're doing it. We're also going to talk about explosive anger when, some people literally have violent anger that just explodes. Or sometimes, almost just as worse, is some people have what's called implosive anger, is they keep everything inside. And then eventually, the explosion is almost just as bad. But look, anger is not evil. It's not. The purpose of anger, though, is to leave things better than they were. So if you see anger in your life and it's not making your relationships better, then you're not doing it right. You have to follow those steps. So for anger has to cause you to respond in a positive. So positive means attempting to heal and not to harm. And a loving way, which means it's for their benefit. It's for them to feel good. It's for them to actually want to be around you more. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand?